life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Everybody, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. Thank goodness. And this week's show is going to be another week of questions from our listeners. And obviously, probably, no doubt, Gregory will come through with some thoughts to initiate some new questions for us. So if you'd like to join us with a question, phone lines are open. It's a general topics questions, general discussion. It's not a personal reading, okay? We do those, and I will tell you about those a little later. But this is general questions. But if you'd like to join us, then the phone lines are open. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. Welcome to the wonderful bbsradio.com. And we're here every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading, then please do go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And now for those in Europe, we have another site, which is called www.mcavey.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole of the duration of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens during the time because my spirit and consciousness are transported to somewhere else, unlike other methods of trance channeling and that kind of thing, where perhaps they may just simply have a kind of a conditioning experience. I don't have that at all. It's something completely different. I would suggest anyway, you go visit our website, which will give you a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got too much time to go over all the information at the beginning of every show, and it would just take up way too much valuable time. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take a few seconds, hopefully, for Gregory to be here, and Sylvie will be looking after you for the whole of the rest of the show and take the rest of the show, and that'll be it.
And we'll really have fun, and you won't.
And you'll have fun, and I won't. I am.
Yeah, so Gregory, who will be speaking to us, had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to evolve and learn all that he can in the spirit world, and now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information helps us to understand the mechanics of the universe, and we bring this without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. So, like I say, thank you for joining us, and if you actually do prefer to send us an email in the week, like today I've got some emails from people putting your question to me, and I will put it to Gregory on the show, then that's absolutely fine, because you know, it can be a whole show topic or it can just be an odd question. But it really doesn't matter, because I can understand sometimes with this sort of program, especially if it's more, there's so much to learn and from Spirit Gregory and the group that very often you're so busy listening that you don't really want to take it off topic or whatever, and you'll miss something if you're phoning up. So I can totally understand why you might not want to do that, apart from the fact that you might not like talking on the telephone, of course. So anyway, you can email me at any time about that at emq@spirit-teaching.com. And like I said, we do Akashic readings. From anywhere in the world, you can phone us up and, we phone you, but you can actually get in touch with us, beg your pardon, and then we will get back to you about that. So the Akashic reading is really quite different from anything else. Again, best go to our website on the Akashic readings page, www.spirit-teaching.com, to find out more about that. But it is basically going to help you on your pathway of life. It's a spiritual reading about you, your core energy, your gifts, and your development, really, your spiritual development, and trying to marry that with your physical life. So anyway, I can tell you more about that if you get in touch with me, and I look forward to hearing from anybody. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light, blessings as ever, my dear friend, little bird.
Hello.
Hello, dear friend, hello.
Hello, Gregory, how are you?
Well, I'm many, many parts, my dear friend. I am a million pieces, billions of pieces, and yet I am all one.
Okay. That makes sense to you.
And all of me is very thrilled to be here, friend.
Good. Cumulative you.
Yes, okay. Yes, the mass that is me.
Oh, well, I feel a bit of a mass at the moment. Anyway, we won't dwell on that. Would you like to talk about anything before we start today, or do we go straight to questions?
I was really just going to talk about one little subject, mm-hmm. and that is the advent of man. I don't mean man as in man, I mean humanity.
Oh, that sounds a very small subject, yes. Yes, Gregory, that shouldn't take long, should it?
I'm talking really about human beings' struggle upon the planet. Mm-hmm. We are so very much aware of the struggle of humanity, even just for human beings to understand themselves is enough for any life, yet alone having to understand the whole indication of it, the whole indignation of what you see other societies or other tribes or other peoples going through in their struggle for survival, for their own self-recognition. How it is that we feel with great sorrow that so many have to resort to all manner and kind of violence, purely and simply just to be heard, just to say I am. We feel that in many respects things have changed little, because of this struggle and this constant battle, in a sense, for human beings to recognize themselves as well as others. It's all very well recognizing yourself in the mirror, isn't it? But how can you come to recognizing the advances of others with good humility, with an ability to say, well, didn't that person do well? Isn't that a wonderful shining light? And not to actually feel jealous about that, and not to feel as though that is something that you're giving to them out of turn, or something they didn't deserve, when plainly they did, particularly if they're exhibiting such beautiful gifts of their spirit. I can think of many beings upon your side of life, of all different hue, people who have struggled within their own pathway and then suddenly been lit from within and without. And so many human beings on your side still would begrudge them of it. How else is humanity to move forward if you do not have stars to shine? How else can it be We observe the many people in Thailand as they struggle within themselves. For their whole race, trying to come to terms with both their past, present, and future, all in one breath. The power on one hand, observing greed and avarice on the other. The way in which poverty is endemic within castes and class of society and peoples. And yet there are others who seem to dwell constantly in luxury. Usually at the will of others too. So we constantly watch and observe these different struggles of everyday life that you face. Whether you face them as an agent provocateur or as a voyeuristic experience that you're not actually engaged with, but you feel as though you're becoming engaged with it just simply because you're seeing it produced, reproduced live in your living quarters. So does that really bring it any closer? Does it really mean that you feel the energy of that situation? If that is the only point at which you feel the energy of that situation, it means, in fact, you are failing yourself. Because in truth, if you were a light to the world, you would understand it was happening anyway. Because you would feel it through the earth, through the trees. And just like the native peoples of long ago, of many indigenous tribe, not through folklore, but just by touching trees, by listening to the leaves' song, or the creation of anguish in other animals and other creatures, relayed from one to another. Human beings were once a part of this relay too, once a part of this sort of information. But that now, of course, you actually have to rely on other facilities. And bravo to those of human state that can do that. We applaud progress. We applaud it greatly. But not at the behest and at the detriment of the environment or the place that is there to be for your children's children. So whatever questions you may have.
Okay, well, I'd just like to pick up on something that you said then about the criticism for success rather than praise or applaud. So,
yes.
You know, how come? Why are we like that as a race generally?
Well, to begin with, I observe that many races, not all, but many, tend to build people up into a pedestal or put them on some kind of adulation list. And then, in order to do that, they then like to watch them fail as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that, of course, recreates the energy empathy within themselves about how maybe they think about themselves and their own failures in life. Mm. Oh, yes, look, they're one of us already. You know, you see what I'm saying. The whole situation is that the tendency will be to look upon the negativity that is created from it rather than the positivity of their rise. And that's just really to do with some societies. I feel that those in the present country in which you are staying is more apt to doing that rather than the Americas, for example, which are far more positive.
Oh, yes. I mean, yes.
And you will notice the difference as soon as you step on the soil, you see.
Yes.
Even the earth itself understands that this is the process.
Mm. Yeah. Even simple things like, if you're in America, you know, oh, isn't your little girl pretty or whatever, you know, just simple things like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that in England.
Yeah.
You don't. You would never. You wouldn't hear anybody saying that. What a gorgeous little girl. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Or whatever. Yes. Whatever it is. Something.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just.
Yes.
An ordinary nice thing to say when it's actually an obvious thing that you're actually thinking, but.
Yes.
You couldn't bring yourself to say it if you were English.
Singing an appraisal of any child for you in this country here would be more like as though you were a paedophile or something.
Step off the plane into America and it's, you know, whatever it is. If you're riding your horse, oh, what a lovely horse. Oh, yes, yours is good. Everybody's just so, well, not everybody, but, you know, people are. They are just so much friendlier and open and... what is the word? It's not positive, it's not kind, there has to be a word.
Well, in a sense, it's empathy, because what is happening, even if you are faced with someone who is being an event of such turmoil that they actually have nothing at all. I'm talking, of course, about people, perhaps, who live in the Mississippi Basin. Let's say, for example, people who live in the poorest of places. Perhaps they have nowhere out. Perhaps they may actually live in a place that is infested with alcoholic or drug addiction problems or whatever else. And actually, there is nothing really keeping that society together because it is fractured to the point where either people, even people living in and sharing a dwelling, will be fighting one another purely and simply because of the great immense difficulty and pressure of having nothing creates. And I understand absolutely that there are wonderful people in Americas too who are trying to do their very best for them, are trying to bring bravery to their faces so that they can actually step outside of themselves and maybe see a different horizon in their own landscape. I feel it is optimal, really. There are many peoples, particularly those who faced with the battles of Katrina and afterward, that still have not been met with their... they're still living in shacks or whatever, or making do in just the residue of their houses, which is a scandalous situation even in your present times. I understand that there are even many situations where if the same thing happened again, it would happen again. It would simply be repeated. Purely and simply, because even now lessons are not learned from that experience. So what you have to understand then is that as a human race, when a lesson object comes before you, you must take it by the horns. You must learn from it. Not because it will necessarily create the well-fabriced spirituality that you seek, some kind of ascensionism or whatever. Forget it. We are talking here about the actual fabric of your society. How it is that people befriend one another. How it is that people genuinely build up trust and create long friendships from that trust. These are situations which must be built through humankind. If there is kindness there to build upon.
Yes. And, you know, we don't realize just how even a smile can totally make somebody's day.
Yes. Or just to remind them that they can.
Yes.
They can do this. With a little help, they can do this.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Gregory. And... let me see. I have a question here from Dave in Bristol, England. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
And, well, here's a few different questions. Let me see. We'll start with the... okay, how does our spirit view us when we are experiencing physical life?
An interesting point, dear friend. There are many facets of self, of your conscious will, your imagery, your memory, and everything that is created within your physical life and that you view through your sensory perception, virtually everything, is brought via your etheric bead to your spirit. So, in a sense, your spirit is the purest part of yourself that takes in all of this information, not in a way of analytical program, in a way of trying to then formulate a decision about it, but actually just simply passing it on. So your spirit, in a sense, is doing a great deal of work all the time you are having a physical existence. Don't forget, friends, that your spirit never actually leaves the ether world. It's always within the universe, is never within the physical reality.
Because it vibrates at a different rate.
Yes, because your spirit vibrates at a far faster rate than that of your physical conscious self. So, for example, your physical consciousness, the vibration that you are as a physical being, is between 2 and 800 cycles per second. Your spirit is vastly different from that. And that vibration will never change regardless of the situations, events, and circumstances you create in physical life. So it means to say that, in a sense, it's like your spirit is taking an aloof approach to your life. That regardless of what you do is actually not something which is then going to tether or create illness or a kind of a problem or deficiency in your spirit. Your spirit never reacts, in a sense, to what your beautiful mind or ugly mind creates.
Okay.
Because that would then mean as though it was making a decision or a progress or some other kind of thought form that was about you. And simply the reason for this is because your spirit's very busy doing other things.
Well, really? Well, that was the other question.
Well, I need to quantify this,
yes,
really.
Yes, you do. Yes, please.
That doesn't mean to say doing other things as in leaving you.
No.
I'm talking about doing other things like just collecting all the information and passing it on to your Akashic book to begin with. It doesn't, there sometimes leaves a residue of the things that you do and say or the events that happen, the occasions on your life, simply because of the energy of other people that are left in your auric field. And that sometimes is what psychics will pick up about you and your life. You see?
Okay, well, if other people have left them in your auric field, they might be picking up other people's thoughts in your auric field.
Absolutely so, yes. That's right. Quite so. Yes. I wouldn't put it past anyone to do that. Yes. Quite so. So this is part of the situation that then faces human beings when they're going to giving a reading or whatever, what level they are giving that reading on, you see? That's why it's so important that, in a sense, they understand the actual situation of where your consciousness is, where your spirit is, in relation to your physical journey. And also, the properties of your spirit will not change, regardless of the habits or creative state you bring about in your physical journey. It does not matter a jot, except for the fact that what happens if you're a beautiful being, if you're very open and living and loving and giving in your physical life, what you actually do is you allow your spirit to shine through your pores. Mm. So your beautiful spirit shines out and actually orientates the information the way that you think and the way that you feel about yourself. You feel loved. You feel intensively motivated and creative because that's what your spirit is.
And that is why when you are in closer proximity to it like that, and like you say, life is a struggle for everybody, regardless,
yes, yes.
I don't care who they are.
Yes, yes.
it actually can help you if it is shining through to that extent. So if you're more in tune with it, then it can almost shine the way for you, really.
Yes.
It can help you.
Yes.
A lot.
Absolutely. Even if you live in absolute abject poverty. Mm. So what I'm saying is, and what I meant by the inference to do with behavior or some such thing as that, don't forget that what you create in your physical life is what you're actually going to coat your spirit with when you finally leave the physical earth. So that means if you're living a murky existence, if you are actually someone who attracts a great deal of negativity to oneself, or maybe just half of it, then that means that in order for your spirit to shine out through your consciousness and illuminate the being that you are, as in a sense of your consciousness, then it simply means that you're going to have to do work in order to overcome the problems that you created. And that's simply it. That's what we try to teach people to do. Now, part of the battle, if you like, that's raging on, is really to do with the ownership. Oh, my spirit's beautiful. Yes. Everyone's spirit is beautiful, regardless of what you do in your physical life. You could say your consciousness is ugly, I suppose, or your consciousness is very negative or hateful.
But not your spirit.
But never your spirit.
But it might be obviously so heavily coated by a nasty negative consciousness that it can't shine through.
Yes, that's right. So when you have children, let's say, for example, you have children who are beautiful beings underneath it all, but actually they show this exterior of violent behavior. Maybe their violent behavior is going to such an extent that they perhaps are in danger of going to prison. Or maybe they actually will take someone else's life. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean to say they are a wicked spirit. Never, ever are they a wicked spirit. Their spirit is just as beautiful as the King of Siam or as a monk living in the Himalayas.
Okay, so
spirit is nothing any different from one to another, apart from its vibration index, which in itself will be slightly different because it's from a different part, a different quadrant, perhaps, of the universe. And the universe, as you know, is a very big place, expanding all the time and contracting all the time, and other universes being born at the same time as yours decays. So that means to say that the whole entirety of the multiverse, in a sense, is continually unfolding. Part of your spirit's journey, at times, will be to visit elsewhere. And this can take place whilst you are having your physical human life. So sometimes this happens when you are when you are having a daydream. Sometimes it might happen when you are having some kind of dream sequence at night. Dreams aren't always about spirit activity. They are not always about your spirit going walkabout the universe without you, or taking you dragging along, kicking and screaming.
Or a
lesson for you to learn. Because it may not be anything whatsoever to do with your present physical life at all, but purely and simply that your consciousness becomes aware of some activity your spirit is going through with other beings, other parties that will possibly remain unseen, or maybe will be of a totally different nature you simply cannot fathom who or what they may be.
Okay, so one of Dave's questions, other questions, was, does our spirit have conscious thoughts of its own?
Absolutely. Yes. You, your physical being, is just a bit of consciousness, if you like, if you're lucky enough to go that far in your physical evolution. Not all beings think in the same way, and not all beings have the same sensory perception or awareness, which means, of course, that as you, as a being, move through your life, maybe you have good sight, maybe you have poor eyesight, maybe you can't see at all, Maybe you can't hear at all. That means that your physical awareness and sensory perception will be different to someone else. How that then affects your spirit is really to do with the information that comes in. Now, what your spirit does in relation to this is that at times it will be moving and revolving away from your physical life, as I say, at opportune moments, usually when you're asleep, or such things as that. It won't be that your spirit will be consciously aware all the time of your physical consciousness, necessarily, because some of it takes place in exactly the same way that you have automatic situation systems that are developed through the subconscious, which continue anyway, because otherwise you'd have to lie there thinking about breathing and thinking about pumping the blood around your physical body if that were not the case. So that would mean that if you went to sleep, you wouldn't wake up.
Exactly.
Yes, quite so. So that is, in a sense, then you're looking at the physical body, and that is the subconscious and automative activity of the physical state. What is also then, in the same way as an automative activity of the spirit state, is your consciousness's information being moved on via the etheric bead to your spirit. So that doesn't mean to say then that it's not that when you have a beautiful physical journey that you're raising your spirit. Your spirit's already raised. It's already ascended. Your spirit doesn't need this journey in order to understand anything. Your spirit understands everything there is to know.
Okay.
You don't.
No. So in the question of does our spirit have conscious thoughts of its own, it's not like...
In a sense.
It's in a sense, isn't it? It's not, you know, like, so what language does it speak, you know? What sort of personality is it? It's not like that. It's basically if it has conscious thoughts, then you mean it's like a constant energy of love, basically, and purity.
Yes.
That actually is something that we need to tune into, like we're always saying.
Yes.
And it knows that it wants to grow. It needs to grow.
But that's part of the journey, and growing isn't necessarily the way that human beings think of growth. Oh, well, I've got to go through all of these struggles and lessons. I've got to have my left leg amputated or whatever, because it's a lesson from a previous life.
Okay.
You see, it's actually to do with the fabric of what you think, how you think, is then translated into you allowing your beautiful spirit's vibration through your muddy world.
I mean, you are your spirit.
Yes. That doesn't mean to say you, your behavior, is your spirit. You, your behavior, is the essence of you reacting to your physical world in the way that you see it and understand it, which may well be a complete misconception.
Yes. So basically, David, the other question was, is it perhaps that we exist in two parts, spirit and physical life, simultaneously?
Yes.
Is actually correct?
That's right.
But,
absolutely correct.
But... We are, and should be still whole, if we are to, shall we say, become the best person that we can possibly become.
Yes. And so
that is follow. If we
that's
were to,
right.
If we were to follow our path.
Yes.
As in, return to the core energy that we were before we had this physical life.
Yes.
And tune into our spirit.
Yes.
Then that would be following our true pathway, because we would almost like be going full circle and coming home, but while we're here, before we go back home.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I hope everybody's with us so
yes,
far.
Yes, yes. Sucking the same lollipop.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, quite so.
It is. So if everybody's got to imagine that you are a spirit having a physical life, a physical existence on the earth at the moment.
The only things that defeat you are you. You allowing negativity, other people's ideas, other people's situations of life, infecting your own.
Which is why when we see children young children, and we talk about the indigo children, crystal children, call it what you like. Basically, it is, in a nutshell, it's children that are still so attuned to their spirit because they haven't gone through other situations that have coated it for them to forget the gifts that they have and the qualities and beauty that they have that their spirit can offer them.
Yes. And even some people, it takes nothing away, my dears, from some people who have actually gone through difficult toils and troubles and hard times within their lives, that they too may obviously understand and see their beautiful, pure spirit. I take nothing away, and I'm not saying that that is not something attainable to all. It is. That's my point, that really it's a no-hold-barred situation, that you are the barrier to your own self-will and your ability to just let go of the containment that has been put upon you.
It's interesting. It is an enormous struggle, and you know, with our readings we do daily, it very often it is all about this, isn't it? You know, where I don't know which way to go.
Yes, absolutely.
For the best.
So.
And obviously, a lot of it is to do with, you know, it's a material world. We need finances.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
It's difficult for everybody.
Absolutely
at the moment.
So.
But it's so interesting that it's these sorts of people that actually have readings and do want to put the work into their life and change their life, whereas there are, I can't categorize. Generalized to the point of being rude, but there are many, many people who have enormous wealth that just couldn't, it just wouldn't enter their head to even think about why they are here and if they can do anything while they're here to better themselves, better other people's lives, the planet, or whatever. It's a weird thing that they seem more disconnected. What makes you turn inward, look inward, and go within to the point where you feel that there is something else? Can't be just desperation, because that's negativity. That just makes you feel even worse. So
yes, I understand that. Yeah. I feel that one of the situations that oftentimes drives people away is the pure cynicism with which they feel. And that oftentimes has a great marker upon that life. Cynicism, feeling that people are only out for themselves.
Yes, and then you get these people who have enormous wealth, and they become ill. Let's say they become ill.
Yes.
Now that changes things around a lot, doesn't it? There's certain triggers with people that make them get onto the spiritual pathway of awareness.
Yes, it's certainly a leveller,
Yes, but I mean, what is with that? I mean, I don't get it, but because it doesn't necessarily follow either. It's only specific people, obviously.
Yes, of course, absolutely so. But it's really in a sense of coming to their time. So perhaps their impending morality itself, mortality in fact, is then something that's shining a light on them. So it's in a sense they're finally beginning to think about it.
Yeah, so is it little glimpses of their spirit that is breaking through and saying, hello, I'm here, there is something bigger and better and more beautiful within you?
Realization kicks in, and that's simply what happens when you do realize. It's like someone's just taking your breath away, but you seem to have a lot more of it.
And this is why you say that, you know, nobody is, you don't give up on anybody. You talk about the little boys that maybe have taken life and all of those awful things.
No, you don't give up on anyone.
You don't. So basically it is all to do with getting people back in touch with their spirit, who they really are.
Yes, spirit are not evil. It is purely and simply the actions of physical matter. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on to...
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go on to David's other question here.
Very well, then.
Okay. France Gockel was a machine gunner for the German army who, at 18 years old, manned a bunker overlooking the D-Day beaches in Normandy. I've noticed him several times over the years on TV and saw him as someone who carried a huge weight of responsibility,
yes,
sadness and grief for his involvement that
yes,
day.
Yes, I understand.
I never knew him personally, but I wonder what has been his experience since Parted the Spirit in 2005. I hope and perhaps imagine that there was a sharing of understanding and a meeting between him and those whom he fought and killed on that day, even perhaps that he was met by some of those people immediately on passing.
Absolutely.
I wonder if there may be a message for us all in terms of reconciliation and forgiveness.
I do understand, Finn, that actually he was met by many people, both compatriots that he fought with,
mm-hmm,
and also those he took the lives of. One of the greatest sadnesses and levelers of wartime experience are not necessarily that the people involved within it are negative or nasty or evil people, but that they are actually commanded by others who want them to face certain acts.
Yes, the people actually at the top of the the army or whatever
yes,
it is.
And they may not actually think in terms of mind what that is going to do to that person. Mm. It doesn't actually enter into their minds at all.
Mm.
What the condition had been for Francis and for others, I understand, in similar circumstances, have been much to do in the same way as there has to become forgiveness at some point, in some future. I know that time doesn't exist in the ether world. It's not something that can just be magicked away. But the point is with him and others like him were that in a sense they had been asking for forgiveness for a very long time in their physical life, even to the people who were perhaps taken at that time. They didn't know who it was that had done it.
Mm.
Or why. They didn't understand that perhaps for people who were doing this or that deed, that they were the enemy. They were there to kill them, to take their life. So each one was fighting for one another's lives. And that's what was taking place. That's exactly what was taking place here. And so you have many different conditions whereby there were people's minds afoot within the whole extenuating circumstances of what they were then trying to bring about within the violence that took place. And I am well aware, for many they will say, well, the spirit would never be involved in violence or anything like that, or that perhaps some, that must have been then that they were low energy or something like that. Sometimes human beings are trapped in corners where they have to fight in order to survive. Many of these conditions were purely and simply fights for their survival, on whichever side you were on.
Mm.
The good and the bad of it, the ugliness of it, had to be cleared away and mopped up in perhaps the peoples who orchestrated it. They were the ones who, after all, sent their young men and women to war on either side, in either camp. And many of those of the ugliest fellows who created such terrible detriment and harm. For example, to do with those who made experiments on other human beings before they took their lives, just in respect of that, and were then subsequently taken to other countries after the war in order to continue with their experiments in some other way because of all the information they'd gathered from it. Perhaps it is then that with a person like Francis, the situation was that, unfortunately, he was at the very front end of it. And with all of the people that were behind the scenes, many of them were not brought to account for their lives ever in their physical life, and thought that they got away with it until they returned to our side of life and found they hadn't got away with anything. There were all those people whose skin they had peeled off whilst they were still living. There were all of those lined up slaves and enslaved beings from all different tribes, from all different centuries, to come to face their tormentors and the people that had taken their lives so inconspicuously, so in such a complete disregard for their life form, for their feelings, their well-being, or anything to do with regarding their life. These people still have to make recompense and reconciliation for their journey. That doesn't mean to say they've got to go and have other lives in order to make it right. What it means is they have to continue their progress in helping others so that they can align themselves to a different pathway of good, so that they can be positive about their journey, understand that perhaps with the best will in the world, that the fatalistic situation that they'd taken on within themselves was at nothing but catastrophic, nothing but harm, nothing but a complete detriment to their life journey. So perhaps one of the first people that Francis would go visit would be the person, the commander, who told him to do the work that he had to do.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? I mean, the thing is that brings it home starkly to us that, you know, we don't actually have to have a physical life anyway.
No.
You know, you have all of your rules.
Your beautiful spirit.
You have your rules and everything's mapped out, not mapped out, but planned. You have your plans and organisations and different things and ways that you do things in the spirit world, the ether world dynamic, however you want to say. That's the thing, that we think that everything has to be revolving around the earth, but you can sort it out there, although it's better if it's done here, so you
don't begun.
Have to. Yes, exactly.
It needs to be begun in the physical life.
Exactly.
You see? That's what Francis really came face to face with. He understood. In fact, he was plagued with it every single night of his life, without fail.
What, remorse?
Yes, absolutely. The images, the pictures of it.
Mm.
Absolutely. The smell.
Absolutely. Yes. So these people like him, how long would something like that take, and what do they go on to do after that usually?
Well, it isn't really a matter of the message of in a linear way of the passage of time.
Mm.
It is to, how do you repair a person's spirit? You don't repair their spirit. Their spirit's beautiful anyway. You repair the consciousness of that being. You help them to understand their journey with a great amount of love and affection.
I mean, the thing is, it's an instant, isn't it? When somebody goes back to the spirit world and has that connection.
Yes.
And that's, you know, reality check of what happened.
Yes.
And the feelings. It must be so raw that actually, very often, surely, it's just in an instant.
That's true. Yes, that's absolutely true. And what I'm saying is that doesn't mean to say that the worse a person is, the more things that are going to happen to that person or whatever.
No.
They may well see it immediately. Does that mean it's less then, if they see it immediately? That seems to be the perception in physical life. The way that human beings view it is that if a person overcomes their grievance, their obstacles of life, if a person overcomes their great negativity, maybe they got immersed in at some stage in their life, then they'll think maybe that they didn't really mean it. Oh, it's not a legitimate bereavement or a legitimate overcoming those ills or those progresses of life, because he hasn't taken any time.
Yeah.
So for many people in human physical state, because they treat everything in the same way that they would respond to it, actually means that they don't have the right understanding, purely and simply because of the laws of proximity, don't allow it. or they don't allow their minds to understand the laws of proximity. So then to see that, well, actually not everything is the way that you think it is, because it isn't. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from a physical perspective, therefore you think that everything is going to take the same passage of time because of physical reality in the ether world once you return to our side of life as it would be if you were still living in the physical reality, which in case a point is rubbish. It simply is not the case.
I find that knowing these different rules and regulations, shall we say, for want of a better word, of how it works.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because of that or if it's something else, but I actually feel embarrassed when I see people doing things that I know that they're going to be, that they're going to regret,
yes.
Know, like when they get back to the spirit world.
Yes, I understand.
It's embarrassing to me. Oh, yeah, please don't do that. You don't, really. No, you don't want to do that.
You really don't want to do that because we know actually what you're going to have to face when you come back to our side of life. Yes.
Yeah, I find it excruciating sometimes.
Yes, I understand. That's really because you're just willing them to do well and you don't want them to have to face it, particularly if they don't really understand that that's what they're doing.
Hmm.
And the case in point, I suppose, would be, just really to do with behavior, I think. That is one of the main situations of human physical frailty, behavior. That people think that they can just do what they want to do. Hmm. Well, they can, to a certain extent, I suppose. Hmm. But usually, if you're not paying for it in the respect of being a human being, you will when you come to our side of life.
Yes,
so you don't really get away with anything.
No, but let's also, in the couple of minutes that we've got left, make it clear
that, on the other hand,
obviously, if you have gotten over that phase that you were in where you did all of these things or whatever that brings rosy cheeks to you, then obviously you have learnt that lesson and moved on from there.
Yes, that's
right. So that really isn't something, we don't want you to sort of be freaking out about it.
No, absolutely not.
About going to the other side.
No, that's
because
right.
You can learn things and overcome things and pay recompense here and make up in so many other different ways.
Yes, absolutely so.
Well, might be a good idea to start doing that if there's other little things that you think you've forgotten. Which probably haven't been.
Yes, all of those crumbs under the carpet, friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not the case of coming back and paying for it next time.
No.
Anyway, but
otherwise, that means that the planet at this present time is full of people who are paying back for something that they did last time. So it can't be a very nice place. And however, it is a beautiful place. You just have to see it for what it truly is and create that vision of beauty yourself.
Yes, now.
Now. Do it now. Not tomorrow. Do it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, fascinating stuff as usual, Gregory. I think that we've answered David's questions, and thank you very much.
I feel so. I'm sure that he will get back to you if we haven't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
God bless then. Love and light, everyone. Thank you so to Master Don Newsom and all the other little Newsoms for their presence on the planet Earth. Thank you so. God bless.
God bless, Gregory.
Yes.
Oh, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website, once again, is www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more information about us on the website. And thank you so much for listening. We will be here again next Sunday, which is 10 a.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. GMT, or it's 1 p.m. EST. And you've been listening to the wonderful BBS Radio. This is Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.